Welcome to the Media Current Dropcast.
And welcome to the Media Current Dropcast, Episode 2. This is apparently becoming a thing. Yeah, it's great to be back here to talk about Drupal news as supplied by our friends at The Weekly Drop. I am Mark Casillas, Marky at Drupal.org, or D.O, as the cool kids call it. With me, as always, are my co-hosts and co-workers.
I'm Ryan Gibson. Ryan is Samson on Drupal.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Calicott. And my handle is DrupalNinja99.
And this is Jason Want. My handle is Jason A. Want everywhere.
Alrighty. Great to see you guys. This episode we'll be discussing one of the keynotes from DrupalCon Latin America, a great article from the folks at Drupalize Me about plugins in Drupal 8. We'll have more Drupal 8 news for the last couple weeks, and as always, Ryan will take us home with the Thunderdome, which I really want to rename. Quick show notes, quick show update. A lot of people have asked if we're ever going to put this into a feed for consumption in iTunes or your favorite podcast device, and the answer is yes. We've been working to get that feed up in MediaCurrent.com. That should be out by the time this podcast sees the light of day, so please click the link in the show notes to subscribe, unless I'm a slacker and that hasn't happened, which is always a possibility.
We'll edit all this out.
And speaking of show notes, you'll probably notice this show does reside in the Media Current blog. A lot of great content in there. Again, Matt Davis wrote about the work we did with weather.com. Bob Kepford, who is surprisingly missing from his own podcast today, wrote a nice article about Tmux and Tmuxinator, because he's a curmudgeon that still wants to be in Vim all the time. And Damian McKenna has a good article summarizing our internal contrib committee progress report for January. And he'll have one out for February, toot sweet. That's all the news that I have for the beginning of this. So, Jay, let's go ahead and talk about our first piece of content.
Okay. Yeah, the first thing we selected was Larry Garfield's keynote from Latin America DrupalCon. And he just talks about a lot of Drupal 8 things, and it's really entertaining, and it's about an hour, but the meat of it's probably, 40 minutes worth. I wrote down several things. I'm sure I didn't capture everything from this, but I'll just list off some things that he mentioned. He mentioned that in Drupal 8, they actually listen to themers, and so that's why we have Twig instead of just render arrays and all that other stuff we had before. Another thing he mentioned was that with Drupal 8, you can actually build real production websites. And so having Views and Core Fields API, having WYSIWYG, and a bunch of other stuff means you can actually build real sites, which I'm excited about. Drupal 8 introduces third-party plugins and things like that. We all know about Symfony. One of the funny lines Larry Garfield had was about, he said, about learning about plugins, that they're like SeedTools plugins, but good.
Right.
I thought that was pretty funny for those of us who write SeedTools plugins all the time. He said that people he had talked about it, they're kind of sheepish at first, and he showed the kind of shy cat, but once they start actually using Drupal and, messing around with creating plugins and things like that, they really like it, and they don't want to go back to the old system. And so I thought that was interesting. And I kind of feel that way with my little bit of exposure to D8, starting to mess around with stuff. I know guys in this chat have probably similar experiences, that it's not bad. I mean, I don't feel, overwhelmed by it, playing around with the new plugin system and whatnot. So he mentioned that. And then one more thing before I throw it to the group here. He was mentioning about the whole configuration API stuff and how it's so much better than features. That features was never meant to be used for what we actually use it for, and this is just a much better fit. And he mentioned a bunch of other stuff, so definitely go back and watch it. But those were a few of my notes.
Yeah, I really appreciated the point about how Drupal out of the box is going to be ready to do everything that normal, a basic site needs to do, as opposed to waiting a couple months for some contrib modules to catch up.
Definitely.
Like the views mainly was the big one between D7, and Entity API was another one that didn't come out. And to the point of plugins, I actually, everything that I'm writing for a plugin for any of my contrib modules, I'm going to try to backport the classes to D7 so that they kind of look similar. Of course, it's not going to have the plug-in hooks and whatnot, but it's still going to be more class-oriented than not, which I think is a neat portion.
I think that this is just the best summary that I've heard yet of D8, and we've linked to a lot of articles, a lot of videos of people talking about the new features in D8, but yeah, if you haven't gotten caught up on what's going on in D8 yet, this is really fantastic just to get caught up.
Right, and I'm going to add on, just as a keynote goes, this is the first time I felt really charged up about D8. Mm-hmm. I've been working with it some here lately. This is Jason, by the way, and he does a great job of kind of like rallying individual developers. He goes on and talks about how, you know, D8 allows the individual developer to do so much more than an individual developer could do with D7 or maybe some other platforms. And so I came away feeling pretty good about getting on with D8. A lot of articles, they go on and itemize things about D8, kind of the changes, but the keynote that he did really just charges up everyone and says how much you can do as an individual developer. One thing that caught me by surprise that I haven't heard about at all is the Tour API that's baked into D8, where you can use the Tour API to provide a guided tour of your contributor module or any page that you want. I thought that was pretty nifty.
That was the first time I heard about that too, and I was like, whoa, that's a great idea. And to know that that's embedded into core that we can use is going to be great.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I took away from the keynote was, it kind of goes in line with another article that I came across recently. Who was it? It was Chapter 3, Alex Pott, Drupal 8 and the Enterprise. How some people are saying that Drupal 8 is really focused on the enterprise, but I don't think that, I mean, and I think that article along with this keynote, and there's more coming out in the community about talking to how Drupal 8 really can bring up the individual developer to a new level, and it's really about just achieving more with some help from other, you know, providers in the community, Symfony and things like that.
100% agree with that. Excellent. Anything else from anybody on this?
I would just say that he made a good point that of emphasizing that Drupal 8 is going to be able to accomplish or to allow individual developers in any part of the world to accomplish the things that you would or that some people would expect, you know, billion-dollar companies with proprietary software to be able to do. And I think that's important because there are just a lot of, you know, popular out-of-the-box web-building tools that are out there these days, and it seems like Drupal 8 is addressing a lot of the tools that just work out of the box that people kind of are starting to expect from software. So
I also think that it's the fun part about it at the end was where he did his world tour slideshow of all the places that he went to talk about, and to all the people that helped contribute to Drupal 8. And it was a very nice sentiment, but all I could think was, man, that guy gets to travel a lot.
But he probably gets to sleep less.
That's true. But yeah, it was a very, very, very good keynote, and that's why we picked that one over the other keynote happening at DrupalCon. So there is that. All right, Jason, let's move on to our next article.
All right, will do. The article titled Panels, Blocks, Layouts, and Drupal 8 by Addison Berry over at DrupalizeMe. It's a pretty good article. It was a high-level summary piece detailing the history of D8 panels, blocks, layouts, starting with initiative announcement by Breeze in 2012, the Whiskey Initiative, nicknamed Scotch. And it goes through, it talks about how there was a new layout system that was introduced, and then a year later it was yanked out of D8 Core because it wasn't really being used. You can find that now over in the Contrib space. Layout is the project name. And then it kind of summarizes kind of what we have now in D8, which is the Blocks layout system, and everything that it uses involving the plugin system, specifically the condition and contextual plugins that are now available. So it's a pretty good, it's a high-level summary piece. Like I said, it made me feel that it was mostly search engine fodder for some internal links and things like that. For some other articles that are more rich with specific details about some of these systems. But if you want to get a high-level summary, read it, and then you can link to a bunch of other things, including specific issues on D.O and other articles that are more meatier. I have been fortunate enough lately to work on porting a contrib module to D8, and I've been deep into, like, the, you're probably familiar with block visibility settings, configuring blocks to show up on certain pages, user roles, and things like that. And Jay, as you know, we were working with the Automate project to kind of take all those, that code that supports that with specific tracking code conditions for our marketing automation modules that we support. And that stuff in D8 has become more reusable. And so instead of writing your own, you know, code to support some logic that you need, look to D8 and look to see where that code already exists, because the way D8's built allows you to just reuse that those bits. And so the article that we read kind of hints at some of that stuff, but then the links in that article kind of go in and talk more about those plugins.
Yeah, I really like the overview because, like Larry said in the keynote, plugins are one of the key components. The reusability of plugins are one of the key things of Drupal 8 that makes it easy to just, once you learn one plugin, they're all going to be similar, whether it's blocks, fields, anything else, formatters, anything else. You'll be able to use those. And so as many high levels that you can get so you can keep a grasp on them would be greatly appreciated by you. I, too, am trying to get JPlayer up in Drupal 8, and that's just a straight field formatter that I'm trying to get out before the launch. And it's definitely been a learning experience because I've got to deal with third-party libraries as well. So it's
wow. Relearning so many things, but it'll be good.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, with Drupal 8, it's just, I don't think there's more to learn than what I had learned in the past 3, 4, 5 years in Drupal 6, 7 when I started. You know, it's just new stuff, and it's just, it's exciting because it allows me to do more, like I've already said earlier. One thing, though, when I'm digging through those condition plugins that the blocks uses, the code in the blocks module is tied up in so many things because blocks are now entities, so there's the entity manager and things like that. So it's kind of hard to reverse engineer that code to take the pieces that I need to use over here. But it exposes me to more parts of D8. So, but yeah, it's so much to learn.
Ryan,
I got nothing on this one.
No, we had a good summary.
One last thing about this article. You know, like I said, it links to a bunch of good information, some other issues. It mentions the groups on D.O or groups.d.o, and there's a blocks layouts everywhere initiative group on there. But also, if you're interested in the Whiskey project, I believe they meet at IRC Drupal Whiskey channel. I think it's every Thursday, 11 a.m. Central Time.
Cool. That's always fun. And then there's always the core contrib that meets on Mondays and Wednesdays at various times as well. Which is a neat thing to attend. All right, so let's move on to the Drupal Core or Drupal 8 updates that have been happening. A couple articles that we've linked in the show notes. The first one, of course, is the Drupal Core updates for February 19th, because that's the last one that we've seen in Drupal groups. It's actually a Drupal groups thing. And some highlights of the month, we're talking about shortcut module. And also a couple people that have volunteered to become maintainers in those modules. It brings out a excellent rundown, which actually I'm going to talk about here in a second, of the remaining Drupal 8 critical issues on Andy Webchick's personal blog. A bunch of functions that are happening, and of course it always has a nice plea to what can I do to get Drupal 8 done? Because we've all been waiting for this for a year at least now, if not longer than that. Another great article that I wanted to bring up was PHP Unit in D8. The reason I want to bring that up, this is a Drupal Watchdog article, and they've always got some great articles. But also, last weekend I was at Sand Camp in San Diego, and Miles 23 did a very good demonstration of exactly what code analysis through unit testing can do for you, and taking apart your code and making sure how the code looks and makes it more understandable, more importantly than anything else, to everybody instead of just you. So even when you're coming back to your code a couple months later, if you have this big, long procedural thing that Drupal 7 is infamous for, you can actually come back to these nice, small, uncoupled units to test, and then it can actually, with PHP Unit, show you where your coverage is and, more importantly, where your coverage is lacking. And I thought that was a very interesting article. And then, as I mentioned before, there's the Webchick's plain Drupal English guide to the remaining critical Drupal 8 tasks. And, you know, we're quickly running them down, and this was written while she was down in Bogota. It does a really, really good idea about, you know, one, defining everything that people talk about, like what are blockers, how is it postponed, what does it mean when something needs triage, and whatnot. And then goes through the different security areas, the user authentication API, how RESTful services are working, and what's important that we try to knock out of the park as contributing developers to the Drupal project. Those are some of the great articles that that I brought out of the weekly drop. Any comments on that, or did I just speed through that too fast?
Well, one thing caught my eye. Well, it made me think of Jay. Jay, there's a core issue in here regarding REST user updates bypass Titan user account change validation. Blah. But it has to do with authenticating with Drupal, you know, through a REST request.
Oh, right.
Which I've heard you've been asking about quite often. But this is Drupal 8 again.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be easier. So, like, in 7, maybe the way you would do a kind of headless login would be maybe services module would be what I would think would be recommended. I haven't done it before, but that's kind of what I was looking for. I know it's supposed to be easier to do REST kind of things in Drupal 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking through that.
Alrighty, Ryan, let's go ahead and head to last thoughts, the Thunderdome. What do you got going on there?
All right, here we go with the Thunderdome. Drupal Association Board Election Candidate. That is going to be running from March 9th, I believe, to March 20th. So starting Monday, you can vote, and you want to get that done by March 20th.
And one thing I do want to say about that, if you go to the link in the show notes, you can actually watch the Meet the Candidates sessions. There are three different ones. I attended the first one, and you can listen to what they have to say about what their plans for this association as becoming a board member is. And I recommend doing that than picking the most popular person.
So are you all launching your campaigns, or are you doing an exploratory campaign or anything?
I was going to announce
Make an announcement? Yeah.
I was going to make my announcement, but then I decided that I'm not going to.
What's your platform? Like, you love kittens and...
I like pictures of kittens on the internet, and I think there should be more. And definitely think that... I don't know. I got nothing there.
You've got my vote.
Okay.
There you go.
I've been watching a lot of House of Cards lately because the most recent season just got dropped on Netflix, and so like I just feel like I'm ready for this. You know, this is my moment.
I also, anybody else notice the correlation of Jon Stewart quitting The Daily Show and the 2016 presidential elections are around. Just putting that out there.
You heard it here first, folks.
you heard it here wrong, folks. Anyway, derailed. Go ahead, Ryan.
Moving along. Hey, you can buy your tickets now for DrupalCon Los Angeles. So that's exciting news.
How much are they?
Yep. If you want to know how much they are, the information that I would tell you is right here. One-day passes are $150. Student tickets, $225. And then they're...
Can I borrow some money?
And then for the full early bird pricing, it's $450. That's up until March 27th. So if you're going to go ahead and get them now while it's still early bird pricing.
While they're hot.
And there's some scholarships somewhere, I'm sure. DrupalCon scholarships.
We are.
Through the association.
Through Drupal Association, exactly. So if you're having a hard time getting there, if you don't have an awesome boss that will send you to DrupalCon, the Drupal Association still wants to see you there, because if you're working in the platform, then you definitely want to go to this concert. It is the Hallmark concert Hallmark conference of North America for Drupal.
You could also get a job with a company that may send you there.
What, a job like at Media Current, maybe?
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird. It's like we were hiring
for tuition. Something.
Yeah.
Education.
Up to the table.
All right.
Tell them you heard about us on the podcast.
Exactly.
That's right. That's Jason Wandt.
Yeah. Here, I'll spell my name for you so you can
tell them you heard
a referral.
Yeah, I'm totally editing all this out and putting your name into it.
Lastly, here with the Thunderdome, this is a fun little project that Jeff Geerling has done, and we have the article posted in the show notes, but he's taken a bunch of Raspberry Pis, right? And if you like hacking with Raspberry Pis, then this is something that will definitely be right down your alley, but he's running Drupal 8 and linking together a whole bunch of Raspberry Pis and kind of doing a bunch of testing and benchmarking with these. So really neat article.
Awesome.
Yeah, he is going to bring it. It is a touring show, so if you want to see it at MidCamp in Chicago, he'll be there. And then also he said he's going to bring it to DrupalCon LA as well. So, but it's awfully neat. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure how practical it is, and I think he makes that point, but it's just really, really cool to see.
Nothing on a Raspberry Pi is practical. That's what makes it so cool. I mean,
yeah. I'm currently trying to build a sprinkling, an automated sprinkling system for my yard with a Raspberry Pi, and I've not had a terrible amount of luck yet.
What,
sounds
is
awesome.
Is it drying the lawn instead of watering it, or...?
Just catching everything on fire.
Yeah, it's the...
You shouldn't have walked it up to the flamethrower. That's the problem.
Yeah, I think it just waters the lawn right after it rains, right?
Yeah, it's only running while it's running, raining outside.
Alrighty, we're going to finish this off with the lightning round. Real quickly, everybody, I want to know what your favorite contrib module is that you do not maintain. Ryan, go.
All right, this is one that I really like. It's called Link Checker, and I've used it on a couple sites where clients have tons of content that spans several years, and articles, links change, you know, years down the road. And Link Checker does a great job just going through and finding out what links are broken and notifying you, and even some automated stuff to fix those links.
Beautiful. Jay, go.
Stage File Proxy. This will be in the show notes. This is a fun module you may not know about, but it is going to make your life much better than it is now.
Real
and
quick.
That's all I'm going to say about it.
Oh, come on. Tell us the story about it.
It'll download images and things for you just when it needs them, as opposed to like, oh, I've got to download every file from a staging server somewhere. It'll just get it when it needs it.
Cool beans. Jason, go.
MetaTag module. It allows you to tokenize default meta tags for your content.
Beautiful. And my personal one is libraries. That allows you to put in third-party libraries because they don't like hosting those on Drupal.org in your modules. So you should have them somewhere else, and that's the libraries module. Alrighty, any last thoughts after that? Going once.
Go Drupal.
Going twice. Thank you very much for everybody. I'd like to thank Jamie Fry for our intro and outro, and thanks for playing.
All right, here we go with the Thunderdome. Not the bell, though.
Oh, that's right. You're not at your house, and I don't have a bell.
All right.
And I'm happy about it.